Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. It is 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we have Beth Habager with us.
Good morning.
Good morning, you too. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you to the best listeners in radio for being here. We appreciate you guys. I hope everybody turned their clocks back. We didn't on the board here.
Oops.
I always look at the I always glance at the time and the date just to make sure I got it right. And because we all know I've mucked it up a couple of times too. And we haven't fixed the clock here. I almost did that. We got a bunch of other great things lined up for you today. We are not going to be an hour late, I promise. We are going to get into not only this hour, our National Day of calendar. We're also going to tell you about some great giveaways that we got going on. Excited about that. In the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club. 9 o'clock hour, That Ain't Right Stories, Good Stories of the Day. And plenty more coming up when we're done with that, because we also have Playmakers today. And want to send a shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsoring the show. Going to have a good one today, a big sports weekend. Got a lot to talk about there, so call up everybody. You guys, you and I are going to be running the show together. So you guys got to call up 424-2600. Let us know your sports thoughts and feelings. I want to know how you feel about your teams over the weekend. We'll talk about it from 10 to 11 today. Be sure to join us for Playmakers. A little bit later on in the day, we got some great stuff on for you. Marquette men's basketball as they host Radford. The long history of Marquette and Radford. No, there is not a long history there. it's basketball. It's a ball night. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Marquette basketball back on the radio. It just feels really good to be able to say that. So we're very excited about all those things. And in our good stories of the day, we got a couple of local good things that we're going to get to. Excited about all of that. I wanted to hear how your guys' weekends were. And I'd like to be able to ask you how your late weekend was, Melissa. But I'm more curious, to be honest with you, about the Bernie Sanders rally you attended. I really would have loved to have gone to that. So while I hope you had a great weekend, I am a little curious about that.
Yeah, it was really exciting for me. I've never been to a rally before, so I was a little nervous, just not knowing what to expect. But it was held at the UW campus in Eau Claire, and there was an amazing turnout of young people. There were over 600 people that attended, and most of them were college students. There
Excellent.
Was a number of, I would say, mature voters as well, like as age-wise. I mean, I want to be nice.
Yeah,
senior
yeah.
citizens
yeah.
Who Bernie addressed specifically in one section, like one mini section of his talk. But he focused a lot on just good information for voters to know what's going on in the economy, why inflation is so high. And I'll let you clue you in on a secret. It's not because of Biden and Governor Evers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other factors that contribute to inflation, which is high worldwide, especially over in Europe, in the EU, in the UK, and Germany, and Ireland. It's higher than here. So I don't know how Biden did that. But
I did
you
it.
Know.
I did it. I'm sorry, all right? I'm sorry, but I finally, it feels actually good to get it off my chest. I'm the reason inflation's so high. I apologize.
Oh, James.
No. Well, actually, Bernie said why it is so high. Economists have pointed that out to us.
Yeah.
But that's not information that a lot of us are getting on a daily basis when we're hearing all these attack ads of these things coming at us. You know, the pandemic, the war in Ukraine, and something we don't talk a lot about, corporate greed. Corporations are making record-breaking profits.
Oh, yeah.
Oil companies, food companies, drug companies, they are all making huge, huge profits. And who's suffering?
We are.
Yeah.
Well, everybody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody but the top 1%. Because, I mean, there really is no classes anymore. You have the top 1% and the rest of us.
Right.
That's kind of what it's come down to.
So it was a very motivating and just honestly encouraging that we have someone who has the intelligence and the oversight just to look at the bigger picture. And that's one thing he encouraged young voters to do, is to look at the big picture. Because 50 years ago, college tuition was free.
Yeah.
And he said if it could be free 50 years ago, it could be free today.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no reason it cannot.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit that wholeheartedly that I look up to Bernie Sanders and much more than just politics, just as him as a human being and the way he's carried his life, certain things about his personal life I really admire. But one of the things that I do appreciate so much about him politically is that Bernie has not been ever been in his career the type to tell you what to do. He wants you to find the information. He wants you to figure it out yourself. He does not believe in easy answers. He knows that life rarely has any. And he wants people to do some homework, wants people to... voting itself should not be difficult, but the process of voting itself should not be difficult. But to vote, it should be difficult on you. Mm-hmm. It should weigh on you. You should have to balance things out and figure out, okay, is this going to work? Is this? It's not a perfect system, as in the candidates. We don't always have perfect candidates that fit exactly every single thing that we need. That's never probably going to happen.
No, not until we get money out of politics.
Absolutely,
they need to be publicly funded.
It's figuring out who fits you best.
Right, yep. Yeah. And doing your own research. Don't just take the ads at face value. Go and look.
Don't take any ad at face value.
Exactly. Go and find out, what do the candidates actually stand for, and are they in line with what you believe?
How was your weekend, Beth?
It was good. And, you know, up and down kind of thing. I actually got a somewhat restful Saturday, and we did a lot of cleaning at the house and had some friends over for a meal. Yesterday was crazy busy, as Sundays tend to be for me, but overall it was a wonderful weekend. Enjoyed listening to Seth Faces the Music and the Director's Cut last night.
Good to hear. Very good to hear. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate that. I have to be honest with you guys. There's no reason for me to think this, but you started off saying you got a lot of rest. And what I heard was, you got arrested. And I am dying to know. Like,
that would
what
be
happened?
On the front page of the local paper, wouldn't it?
Much
local pastor
story.
Gets arrested. Question is, what for? What was I arrested for?
I wouldn't have even started with good morning. I'd have been like, hey, everybody, yeah, good morning. Hope you had a good weekend. Beth.
Beth would have already gotten a call from me saying, hey, pastor. Yeah,
exactly.
So what happened this weekend?
She'd go for the scoop.
I do want to remind everybody that these two will be in the opening up the kitchen for us in the 9 o'clock hour
today.
Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. I always love that segment, you guys. It's such a fun one. Thank you so much for doing that, and I'm looking forward to it today.
Well, thanks, James.
We do have a good story of the day we will get to kick things off, but I do have to mention a couple things real quick. Lost somebody incredibly important to us over the weekend, and I'm not going to go too in-depth in it, but I do want to say... that we need to be better to each other, do better by each other. And if you or someone you know is hurting or in need, the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is 988. It is 988. We can all do better by each other. And that applies to every single human being under the sun. All of us.
Yes.
We can all do better. I did want to touch on one other thing really quick, too, that happened this weekend. We want to send a big congratulations to Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen, and now certainly to Cassidy Sayers, who joined us last week and everything. We had fun talk. We've really enjoyed talking with Cassidy.
Mm-hmm.
We want to say congratulations to those who have not heard, to the new Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen. That is Maria Hartley.
Yay!
Congratulations,
Maria.
Hey, Maria. Hey.
Now, isn't she the Miss Wisconsin? And there's a separate Miss Wisconsin teen.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Well, proudly crowned the new Miss Wisconsin, Miss Maria Hartley. Yes. Yeah, you're correct. I apologize. Yeah, that's fantastic. Any one of these kids would have been very deserving. And just is kind of cool when it works out that it's somebody that like that, because we I've been doing this a couple of years now, and every candidate we've ever had for this, there haven't been a bad one. There hasn't been one that was like, oh boy, I hope she doesn't win. They're all amazing. They're all amazing kids. And a big congratulations to all the contestants, to everybody that got them to these rehearsals and helped build them up to be able to do this. I mean, it's my job to get in front of people. It's my job to talk in front of people, to talk loud enough in front of people. I've been doing it since I was about 12, and I have never understood how people could do the pageant stuff, man. That is impressive to me.
I know.
That's a whole other level of it's the only other thing I can think of is stand-up comedy, where you're yourself out there. Unless you're playing a character, it's just you out there. And the vulnerability of that and the strength that it takes, the braveness it takes to be able to do that at that age, when you've already got a billion things, clouding your mind as far as your looks and you know, this and that and everything. Just a big congratulations to everybody a part of it. Congratulations to the pageant itself. Another successful run. I hope everybody enjoyed themselves and had a good weekend.
Yes.
Did want to get to this good story. And this is a fun one. It comes to us from Milwaukee. I don't know how many of you guys might have heard about this one or not. So if those that didn't, you have to hear this. This is pretty good. On Halloween, a Milwaukee neighbor gave trick-or-treaters an unlikely choice. Take a full-size candy bar or a potato.
Potato.
Just a regular uncooked potato.
Okay.
In the end, Sarah Ross gave out 46 potatoes to crazy for taters trick-or-treaters.
Wow.
That's a great line. That's a very well-written line. That does remind me. I want to give a shout-out to James Graw, who wrote this. Nice job, James. They live in Saveland Park neighborhood, which is right next to Bayview in Milwaukee. There's one really, really young, there's one really, really young kid that the right away that saw it, just picked it up, gasped, and said, "I got a potato."
Wow.
He was so excited. He was very excited. One group of teenage kids even started yelling potato gang around the neighborhood. They were so excited about the spuds next to their milk duds.
Nice.
Wow.
Ross, and now why would she do this? I saw this headline. I saw a little bit about it, and I'm like, well, I got to look into that one. I got to figure out what this is. Is this for this reason, that reason? Did she do it for this? Well, Ross did it just for fun. Weird and different. The best reason, some of the best reasons there are.
Yes.
There was no message behind it. Ross saw a post on Facebook that someone did it back in 2021, so they wanted to do it. Quote, "I think a lot of people hadn't seen a potato in a Halloween candy basket, and that was the exciting factor for it, for us, that it was just weird." They posted live commentary on their Facebook page, giving people updates as the night went on. The post was shared thousands of times and picked up by publications across the country. George Dekai shared it. "That was a big one for me because I've been a Trekkie my whole life," Ross said. they aren't sure if they'll be the potato house again in 2023. However, there is a little bit of pressure to live up to the reputation they inadvertently built for themselves.
They had to get, you know, like different commentators to come in on their live feed. Because I just, that's got to be hilarious.
Yes.
Well, it's trick-or-treater number 47. Yeah. And we have now given out 6 potatoes.
Yes. I'd love to know if they had like 50 trick or treaters, like how many took the potato, how many, you know, I'd like to know the percentage there. That's a fun idea. I will say it actually is a pretty impactful like treat to get. You can do so much with potatoes.
Really, James?
There's so much you can do with potatoes.
How much can you do with potatoes?
Let me explain to you two. Let me explain to both of you two. You know?
Well, come on, Beth. There's French fries. There's
mashed
waffle
potatoes.
Fries. There's no. Not in James's vacation.
I know.
But there's also
Parmesan fries. In that.
And truffle fries.
And tater tots.
Quick question. How quickly does somebody stop turning red? How long does that usually last?
I can just keep going because I can actually see your face.
It's wonderful. Yeah. You keep going, Melissa.
That's a great story. Good on
Teasing
those people there.
You,
that's a good one. We'll have more cooking talk a little bit later with the kitchens open. Be sure to stick around for that. And speaking of cooking and food, well, Thanksgiving right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to that and our friends at Quality Foods, we have the Thanksgiving turkey giveaway going on.
Wow. Yay.
That is going to be happening every day right up until November 18th.
Okay.
We're going to take this right up to November 18th. What we will do is the gang and I will ask you a trivia question about Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And you get it right, and the first person to call in will become a qualifier for the Thanksgiving turkey giveaway.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Now, Monday, November 21st, we'll pull one qualifier to win the turkey.
Yay.
Ooh. And this is no, you know, little just baby turkey. This is a 14 to 18 pound turkey.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a nice big one. Bird.
So will that be done during the morning show then?
Yep. Yay. We'll be doing that during the morning show here.
We celebrate the person. Yay.
Yeah, so we'll be doing that. And I'll be listening between now and 10 for that, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break. Come back with our National Day of Calendar. It is Melissa, Beth, and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR for this November 7th, 2022 at 7:20 o'clock. You know what time it is to get into our National Day of Calendar. What is there to celebrate? Well, looking at November, just another reminder, it's National Peanut Lovers Month.
Peanut Butter Lovers Month, yum.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And it is Movember, everybody, so keep those in mind and remember those. It is Talk Money Week now through November 11th.
Hey, hey.
We checked that one off.
Yeah, we did, actually. Yeah, we could have done that. Nicely done, everybody. It is often considered impolite to talk about money. At least that's the traditional view anyway. However, thanks to a lot of great new initiatives, such as Talk Money Week, more and more people are realizing that talking about money and our finances can actually be very beneficial to us. That's why some of the world's biggest financial organizations have come together behind the Talk Money Week innovation. Don't feel comfortable about discussing your finances with others. Hopefully this exciting week will change all of that.
Mm-hmm.
What are the positives to being able to talk about your finances openly? Let's see. Never know what information you might get. Somebody else might know something you don't, and sharing that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly that. I think you become more comfortable with it. But there are two things about this that stand out to me. One, we tie way too much of our identity to our bank account.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that's good, bad. That is what it is, bothers me. I'll say that much. I'm not too happy with it, but I don't know. Some people, maybe that's okay. That's to each their own.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, they're right about this as far as that we don't tend to talk about this openly. But the younger generations, I feel a lot better about this one. Just in the brief times that it's come up in conversation with younger people, they seem mm-hmm. to be much more comfortable talking about this. I don't know if they talk more about it openly or not, but they definitely seem more comfortable talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, being able to talk openly about your finances and being able to approach, someone with questions, if you have a question about something, it just making it an open conversation, talking about transparency in wages, that's kind of a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And about the wage inequalities that we have in this country. Yeah. All of those are kind of tied in together, and it's a good opportunity to talk about it.
Well, and learning how to budget so that you can live within your means, so that you have the money that you need for the things that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one.
It's National Bittersweet Chocolate with Almonds Day.
Yum.
I'm there.
Yeah, it's not a bad one. Not a bad one at all. I don't really like almonds that much, but in that kind of situation, I barely notice
cover
them
in chocolate?
Not so bad. All of a sudden.
You get your healthy fats all in one place.
Those are good, though. Those are good. What's the candy bar I'm thinking of that does that?
Almond Joy?
Maybe it is. I don't know if it's Almond Joy. It's one of those, though. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're up there. You're on the right beat there. Mm-hmm. It is Job Action Day.
Okay.
This is a day where you weren't going to do anything, but now you should. Okay, today's the day. No,
man, I have to work today.
Yeah.
Sorry, misunderstood. I'm sorry. I apologize, everybody. It's actually much different than that. The words of a great man speak a truth that so few truly understand: that the value of a day's work lies in our satisfaction of a job well done. Yes, we all need to make a living, and we should be being paid what we're worth in those jobs and for the labor done. But no amount of money will ever take the place of finding and doing a job where you're truly satisfied with.
Mm-hmm.
Live Careers Job Action Day stands to remind us of this, and that there's always hope when looking for the great job that will carry us on.
What's that quote? If you find a job you love, you never work a day in your life?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
It is. If you have the comparison of what real work is compared to doing something that you love to do.
Right.
Not to say that that isn't real work, but there's a huge difference of working a job you don't want to do, but you're doing it for the paycheck and mm-hmm. doing, that. We've also seen a lot of this in the last 2 years, 3 years, really, with the migration that has gone on. People wanting... people being fed up in their industry with their pay and being like, if I'm going to grind the way I live check to check, I might as well do it doing something I love to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, that's the American dream right there. That's a big part of it, at least.
Absolutely.
Being able to do that. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I would say that if you, this is a good day to take a look in the mirror and say, do you love what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
You may have your answer right there of where to go from there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is National Broadcast Traffic Professionals Day.
All right.
One of our favorite days around here. Ever mm-hmm. wondered how your local television station is able to keep track of traffic each day? Have you ever been curious about how professionals choose how they lay out the roads? Broadcast Traffic Professional Day is a day dedicated to those who work in the traffic engineering industry. Whether that be in the engineering department or broadcasting department, let's learn more about the Broadcasting Traffic Professional today. We are extremely spoiled here at WFHR, because not only do we have the best in the business and the best that has been in the business for decades, but the heart of WFHR is our traffic person, is our scheduler, mm-hmm. is our front. The first face you see when you walk in here is the heart of this station, and Pam Hilke.
Yes.
I'm going to send a big shout out to Pam. Big thank you to Pam, not only for everything she's done over the years for this station, for our community. Mm-hmm. I'll say for myself personally, but yeah, we can't do this without her. Like, I think people think sometimes we're being nice and all that, and we are. We want to spoil her with compliments. She deserves it. But don't get it twisted, everybody. I'm being serious too.
She's earned those compliments.
Yeah, yeah. Because this job, if she doesn't show up one day, it's a completely different world for mm-hmm. us, and she is greatly appreciated. Should also be mentioned, I've talked about this on the air many times. This is a job where I don't really have a backup,
right?
You got to be here. And Pam's job, extremely similar mm-hmm. throughout her whole career. I haven't had that my whole career. Most of my career, I've had backup and those kind of things because I've worked with many other people. not in the situation that we were in for a while there at WFHR, mm-hmm. and not really for Pam in any situation or any of the traffic directors out there, any of the people that cover scheduling, whether it's TV, radio, whatever you were talking about. It's a big, unappreciated job that just doesn't seem to get the credit it deserves.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Recently, McVay passed away, who was the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers mm-hmm. for their big championship run of 5 Super Bowls. And whether it's Joe Montana, Bill Walsh, or Gary DiBartolo, the owner, they all got credit over the years.
Right.
But very few people knew who McVay was. And anybody who will tell you that McVay was the guy, okay, Bill Walsh would have these great ideas, their owner would have these great ideas, and bring them, and McVay was the one that made them happen.
Right.
He was the one that got it done. He was a traffic scheduler in many ways. He was doing these kind of jobs. Mm-hmm. There's so many gigs like that out there that we don't take the time to appreciate. This is one of them.
Yeah.
And it is National Hug a Bear Day.
Yay.
Hold up, everybody, especially to my Rapids listeners out there. Make
not
it a teddy
the one that's
bear.
Running around.
Yeah, yeah, make it a teddy bear.
Yeah.
Play this one safe, everybody.
Okay, good.
I looked at the picture. That's why I went, yay.
Yeah.
It's a cute picture. Two little teddy bears.
Although it might be confusing, Hug a Bear Day isn't about the big fuzzy beasts that roam the forest munching on nuts and berries and are perfect killing machines. This is all about hugging your favorite stuffed animal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. This day instead about your favorite fuzzy knights of yore, sometimes called by the name Teddy. They are big and fuzzy and warm. They watch over children and perhaps some adults at nightfall, keeping the monsters in the closet and under the bed at bay.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a fun one right there. I know that we used to Carl would bring one in for this day oftentimes, so
okay.
I don't know.
We'll have
to
see.
Yeah, yeah. Aww, he had a couple of those, yeah.
Yeah.
I do know that we got a break right here. We got a break right around the corner. Let's go ahead and do that. We'll take our break. We'll come back after Melissa's news and got the 10 most beautiful baby names for boys and girls coming up.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's coming up right here on Mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. 7:35 on the clock. Your host, James, here. Melissa and Beth here with us as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's time to talk baby names.
Yay.
We have the 10 most beautiful baby names for boys and girls according to science.
According to science?
Yeah. Have you ever met someone named Matt and said, wow, what a beautiful name? That's not a knock on Matt's. It's asked in a serious way because it may have fit the person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some of these are just kind of an interesting turn of events, I think, that to many of us. A baby website called MyFirstYears.com took 400 of the most popular baby names in the U.S. and had a linguistics expert whittle down to the top 50 for boys and girls. But they didn't rank them yet. To do that, they used data from a study in 2018 that looked at which types of sounds we find the most beautiful or pleasing.
Okay.
Oh.
And according to the results, the most beautiful name for a boy is Matthew.
Ah, hmm. Okay.
And for girls, it is Sophia.
Wow.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Sophia is a pretty name.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
I don't think a lot of us had Matthew, though.
No.
But if you just say the whole, like, not Matt, but Matthew, you say the whole word, the whole thing, it's got a little bit of more syllables to it. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll see some commonality here as we go along with these. So, boys' names, as I said, Matthew, then Julian, William, Isaiah, Leo, Levi, Joseph, Theo, Isaac, and Samuel.
Hmm. Interesting.
The top 10 names for girls are Sophia, Zoe, Everly, Sophie, and not Sophia, but Sophie, Riley, Ivy, Paisley, Willow, Ellie, and Emily.
Hmm. A lot of names ending with the I sound.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's. I feel like that was the. That was the catalyst of this, really. You know, that almost ending in a vowel or second to last word letter is a vowel kind of thing.
They're very song-like, very lyrical in the way that you pronounce them. And so there's that lilting to it.
Mm-hmm. That's the word I was looking for. There's a rhythm to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a... It doesn't make... I don't really have any pushback on any of these or anything. I'm like, no, that's not a very pretty name. This sounds great to me.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious what made it on the outside, like the top 10. Like, okay. So, because we got a majority of them, but we didn't get the whole 10. Yeah, because like I got Freddie in here for boys, George, Ali, Daniel, and Riley. Number 11 is Omar.
Wow.
Number 12, Arthur. And then Rowan at 13.
Okay. Roan or Rowan?
Rowan. Sorry. Yeah, Rowan. R-O-W-A-N. Got a little excited there.
Yeah. They get confused all the time.
Leo, Joseph, Theo, Harry, Noah, Toby, and Jude.
Harry. Okay.
For ladies, we went to all the way to, to Emily there.
Mm-hmm.
Or Ellie and then Emily. And Evelyn, Rose, Eliza, Eva, Chloe, Penelope, Lucy, Ruby, Lily, Olivia. I was made the top 20.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Not a lot of hard consonants in any of those.
No. And I don't know. I don't know if this is going to really do anything for anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, if this is going to make anybody, like, change the name. What, like, if they had a name they in mind for their kid, they're still probably going to name it that.
Right.
More than likely.
But this Bodo Winter, the Dr. Bodo Winter, explains there are a lot of things that affect name choice, and several of those have been explored in research. For example, research by Stephen Shia shows that parents try to avoid choosing first names that would clash with their family names.
Mm-hmm.
If your family name starts with an S, such as Scott, Smith, or Saunders, it may be advisable not to have a first name that ends with that ends in S, such as Marcus or Charles or Nicholas, because the two S sounds will blend into each other.
Yep.
Nicholas Smith, Nicholas Sullivan. Yeah, I see that. Okay.
Yep.
Is it bad if I didn't think of a lot of these things when it came to helping name my kids?
No.
I don't think the way that it sounds like pleasing wise is the first thing we go to. We come up with names, you know, based on what our last name is. How is that going to flow? Is the kid going to get made fun of because of a nickname? I don't know if that crosses. I know that crossed our mind.
Yeah,
I think that's a pretty common thought.
Yeah.
Concern.
Have you ever known anybody, and you don't have to actually share who this is or anything like that, obviously, but have you known anybody that was not happy with their baby's name? Because I know at least one person, and they're not in the listening area. I don't even know if they, we haven't talked in ages, so but maybe it changed. Maybe he likes his baby's name now, but he did not like the name that his son got.
So apparently he did not
like
get
it.
Any vote in the matter?
No. Well, I think he was just, vetoed out because they have an older daughter, and this is his second. And his oldest daughter, who was about 10 or 11 when this all came about, the mom and her really fell in love with the name, and they just kind of stuck with it. And he was not happy with it. He was not happy about this name. He didn't want them. He really felt like he got kind of boxed out here and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever he would say his youngest daughter's name, he would kind of like you just like not every time, but you'd see this like kind of like I don't want to say angry look to him, but just kind of like a tasted bad in his mouth or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine that had to last for very long. I would think that, you know, even if you didn't, even if you were in a situation like that, you look at that kid's face and immediately you're going to be fine.
Or you come up with a nickname that you do like.
Right, that's what I was going to say too.
My dad very rarely uses my given name.
Yeah.
It's always the nickname that he's given me since I was a baby, so.
Interestingly, the little girl's name in question, Emily, which is on this list, which is on this list. That's hilarious. Like, and it's a very pretty name. I always thought it was I used to give him a hard time about this because I thought, I like the name Emily, and I also like names that you can shorten.
Yeah. An M.
Yeah, I have a lot of Emilys in my family, actually.
Yeah, I always thought that was a great name. I think he wanted, in fact, I remember him, I think he wanted something that was like nobody had ever thought of before, that kind of thing. And
something
like, good luck,
unique.
Man. Good luck. You see what happens when people do that? They name their kid Apple or a fighter pilot or something.
North.
I mean, there's a reason these names have existed for thousands of years. They're not bad. They're all right.
Right.
We will take a break on that. We'll come back and get into some more interesting, fun stuff here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a great start to your week out there. Happy Monday. Hope you turned your clocks back. Otherwise, it might not have been a great start to the day for you. Got some interesting ones here to get into. In the 8 o'clock hour, we'll kick things off with some entertainment news. Keep on listening for the WFHR Quality Foods Turkey Trivia Giveaway. We'll be doing that soon as well. I want to keep an ear out for that, everybody. Right now, let's dive into social media. And let's treat it just like I do, everybody. Let's dive in and jump out as quick as humanly possible.
Just like Lake Superior.
Yeah, there you go.
I was wondering how long we could go as a morning show without touching on this. With Elon Musk buying Twitter, everyone's talking about social media and the toxic hellscape it can be sometimes. So here is a question. Overall, would you say social media has been mostly good for the world or more bad than good? Someone polled 1,400 Americans and most said it's been bad for us. Bad for us. 54% think it's been a negative effect on society in general. 25% think it's done more good than bad. And 21% aren't sure. Also, only 36% of us think conversations on social media are generally healthy, quote unquote. But opinions like that haven't stopped us from using it. 93% use social media regularly. 74% said at least once a day, and 55% said multiple times a day. Only 5% of us use it less than once a month. What is this, on this, just right away, first impressions, what does that tell you? That divide right there, that countering of it does not seem like a very intelligent thing. If the majority of us are agreeing, like 54% agree that this is bad for society, why are the overwhelmed 93% of people? Get 93% of people on anything. We got an election coming up. We'll be lucky to get 30 to 40% of the population to vote.
Yeah.
But this, we've got 93% on. Like, that divide right there, that contrast right there, what is your first impressions of that, Melissa?
Well, there was a lot of pressure to join social media early on from our peers, like my friends. And these are not people who are traditionally like they weren't the first people on MySpace and things like that. But I didn't join Facebook right away. And they kept getting on me. They're like, you know, I mean, and I don't want to say it was almost like, well, you can't be our friend anymore if you don't join, but like you're missing everything. You're not seeing all of this stuff if you don't join this platform. So I think there was a lot of societal pressure from people in their peer groups to join these different platforms.
Great. That's great stuff. That's a good take. Beth, do you have any first
name? Well, nobody likes to be left out. So even if you're on it and you don't utilize it the way that society does, I'm not surprised that 93% are on there just to see what's out there. I mean, I would consider myself more of a Facebook voyeur than anything else. I don't post a lot, but I like to go on to see what everybody else is posting. And how often do we do things that we know aren't necessarily the best for us? You know, think about alcohol and cigarettes and sugars and sweets and things like that. We know we shouldn't, but we still do. So this is just another example of things that may not be the healthiest for us that we still participate in.
Two things occur to me with this. One, do you think that it is a big part of this? I mean, we tend to like to do things that aren't always good for us.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's a little part of it. And I also wonder, too, and maybe this is a very naive thing, but I really would have loved this to have been one of the questions that they asked surveyors. Are you somebody that thinks you can make social media better?
Mm-hmm.
Are you somebody that thinks that, well, yeah, all that other stuff, na-na-na-na-na, whatever that is, I'm going to do my thing, and I'm going to try to be positive. I'm mm-hmm. going to try to like get what social media, I'm going to get what I get out of it and what I put into it, and I'm not going to take any of this other white noise. I'm not going to take any of these gray area stuff. I wonder if there is a good number of people out there that feel that way about it, that I can change this. As somebody who used to be that guy, oh, I can change him. I'm just trying to lighten things up a little.
Well, I think if more people had that opinion, James, it would be a better place on social media.
And I think when it first started, it was better. And when ads started to get put out there, and no matter what kind of ad, you know, you started to find more divide in there. So it became more of a place to be controversial.
It's also so easy to be anonymous on mm-hmm. social media and say whatever you want with very little little backlash.
There
are things that people say on social media that they would never even consider saying out loud to somebody in person.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I would say if we're doing percentages and everything, 70-80% of the people that are on social media when it comes to comment sections are keyboard cowards.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Every single one of them. And mainly because of what you just said there, Melissa. I also think, too, when it comes to... This is something that we are very quick to scoff off. That we are very quick to kind of dismiss social media.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around for over 20-some years now. It's been around for quite some time when you sit back and think about mm-hmm. it. It ain't going anywhere, anybody. It's not as if there's not going to be a new app in the next year or two that is going to blow TikTok out of the water
and
take that spot over, just like Snapchat did to Instagram and TikTok did to Snapchat and et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. It's just going to keep going. So this brings us to that. And I had some people recently, because I am still on Twitter a little bit. It's an information resource for me. It's whether we like it or not, I cannot tell you how many breaking news stories I've gotten because I have a Twitter account and I have updates from that.
Mm-hmm.
It is something you don't just take it verbatim. Somebody tweets something and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm running with that.
Right.
You know, you back up your sources,
right.
You double check this stuff. But it's so many of the stories that I've seen breaking news of started that way.
Mm-hmm.
And not I'm not talking necessarily... bad things towards social media, just things that were important to get out there.
Right.
It's very easy to get caught up. There's one other part here too that is on my mind about this too, because we don't leave comments when we're happy. You didn't just leave a restaurant and had the greatest restaurant experience of your life, and maybe one out of five people will leave a comment, hey, greatest experience of my life.
Mm-hmm.
If you went to that same restaurant and found a, you know, fly in your soup or what have you, you're going to the comment section almost before you even paid your bill nowadays.
Right.
I'm on Yelp, and I'm talking about this before mm-hmm. I've even, like, left the mm-hmm. restaurant or anything.
Or they'd be taking pictures of it and refusing to pay their bill.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so it I wonder how much of that plays into this, too.
Mm-hmm.
We've always been that as a society. Here's the other thing, and this goes back to something my pop used to tell me all the time. My papa was one of the first person I knew to have a personal computer, an old PC.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm frustrated with it because it's not doing what I want it to and everything. And he looks at me and he's like, Jimmy, it's only as smart as you are.
Right.
It can only do what you tell it to. It can only. It's not going to be able to figure out the perfect phrase here. It's not that kind of thing. It's an algorithm. It's an AI. It's all these things. We get what we put into
right.
it. It is not social media's fault that we handle it this way. It is very easy to blame the Musks and the Zuckerbergs and all that. And I got no problem with that, to be honest with you. If we're talking about certain things,
mm-hmm.
but blaming them on a whole for our behavior
mm-hmm.
feels very childish, feels very not taking responsibility
placing
for our own
blame.
Actions.
Right.
Exactly.
Something you both said about being able to be on social media and not be, you know, one of these keyboard cowards, that you don't even have to back things up. it's gotten so to the point where it doesn't, that almost doesn't matter anymore. You look at what Kyrie Irving is doing right now in this hill that he is willing to die on, and everything, or Kanye West, or any of these people. Mm-hmm. They go on social media with their real name, and yep. they are still, you know, they've been doing this for a while. It's not like these are the first times these individuals, or half the individuals I can mention right now, have been controversial. Right. I wonder so often how many people are saying something just because they're so dang, like, they're so attention grabbing.
Right. Well, and that's what it is. You know, often when we don't feel like we've got enough power or influence in our real, you know, day to day, it's easy to go on there and you can reach people that are across the world, not yeah. just the people that you see on a daily basis, but you have now influence and you can easily then start to find people that will agree with you, even if the mm-hmm. people around you will not.
Especially right now with election season and everything, there are so many spammers and so many mm-hmm. things out there where it's not even in our country that these things are coming to you mm-hmm. and you're promoting, supporting. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's one of
that misinformation, and it's yeah. and it's everywhere.
And this is one of those things too where it's daunting. It's a lot. I understand, but you know, people clean up after hurricanes. People mm-hmm. clean up after typhoons. They, mm-hmm. You know, we rebuild. That's what human beings do. I mm-hmm. genuinely believe there is nothing stronger in the universe than the human spirit, and we can show it in certain ways. You can't control social media. You can't control, but you control your page. You can control how right. you handle it. You can control mm-hmm. how you respond to things, and that's all we can do going forward is take personal responsibility for our own actions, mm-hmm. our own words, and move on as a society. I do think too. So much of this is growing pains.
Right.
You know, as I mentioned, yeah. Social media has been around almost 20 years. It takes time.
Not that long.
Yeah.
TV, radio, newspapers, all those things took time for them to evolve. They didn't mm-hmm. get it right away. They mm-hmm. didn't get it. As things evolved, you had more and more commercial breaks. So wait a minute. We can't just take one long commercial break anymore. We lose our audience. Let's take mm-hmm. three little breaks. And things like this. We evolve. We mm-hmm. learn how to work along things. And I think that we'll do this, but I don't think it necessarily in a naive, positive way. I think we'll do it because we have to. Because, right, again, right. like I said earlier, it's not going anywhere. So we're going to have to figure this out.
People
and
need
there
to,
are good reasons to have social media. Yes. There are good things about it.
Well, and the intent of Facebook when it first came out was to be just connected, to be able mm-hmm. to talk to friends that are miles, thousands of miles away. Wonderful intent. But when big money gets in there and politics gets in there, it becomes a fighting ground. And
false,
you know,
actors.
Yep. And what we need to do as a society is stand up and say, no, we're not going to do this anymore. If everybody would get up and say, we're only going to share the good things that happen,
yeah.
how much different would Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or any of these places look?
And I don't want to say that I agree with you, both of you. And I like what you said there, Beth. I know it's not a perfect world, so I wouldn't expect people to just post happy-go-lucky mm-hmm. things. But I think that you'd find a lot more support for other things as far as your causes and all that stuff.
Right.
If you were doing it from a, hey, I'm not badgering you, I'm not pushing this down your throat kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that you both mentioned the positives of social media. We got way too far into the conversation without mentioning that. I reached out to my cousin last night and got to talk to her. We haven't talked in a while, and it was very important that we did with everything our family mm-hmm. has been through this weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't have her phone number. It's the only mm-hmm. way I could connect with her.
Right.
And I'm very thankful that I could connect with her. It's important, too, to look at both sides of these things.
Right.
I don't think it's easy to do. I don't want to make light of that. I don't want to make it seem like it's simple or something like that. But it's important that we do.
It is.
We're going to get into Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club when we get back. We also got some entertainment news to kick off the 8 o'clock hour. And, of course, we have the WFHR Turkey Trivia with our friends at Quality Foods IGA. We're going to give away a qualifier ship for this turkey coming up.
Excellent.
All that coming up for you right here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.